A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Text appears. A Netflix comedy special. Matt Rife, Natural Selection. Seen from behind, Matt strides on stage as spotlights rake over the packed crowd. Wearing pale sneakers, black pants, and an unbuttoned black short-sleeved shirt over a white undershirt, Matt mouths, "Thank you so much," to the audience. He leans down and slaps hands with people in the front row. After touching more hands, he waves up toward the balcony, then strides across the stage. Stepping over to a stool, he picks up a microphone that was resting on the seat.
DC, what's going on?
Oh my God.
Thank you. Sit down. Get comfortable. My God, thank you so much. Oh.
He presses a hand to his torso and shakes his head.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. Washington, D.C. We're doing Netflix, baby. We're doing it. Oh. Man, this is so cool, man. I wish my grandpa could see this, man. I always wanted to bring him here to visit. He knew how much I loved D.C. And he loved Maryland. It was like his favorite state. Which, you know, is a valid response unless you've been to Baltimore. Because, dude, what the fuck is going on in Baltimore, dude? Bro, Maryland as a state cannot pick a tone, dog. Just pick one. It's so beautiful and so ratchet for no reason. Can y'all just pick a tone, man? All of Maryland. Y'all will drive to the beach with your top down and then go to Baltimore and lock all your doors, dude. Like, you don't, no middle ground ever, man. I've only been to Baltimore one time. I ate lunch there, and the hostess who, like, seats you at the restaurant had a black eye. A full black eye. And it wasn't like, what happened? Yeah, it was pretty obvious what happened. And we couldn't get over the fact that we're like, this is the face of the company? Like, this is who you have greeting people? And my boy who I was with was like, yeah, I feel bad for her, man. I feel like they should, you know, put her in the kitchen or something where nobody... where nobody has to see her face, you know? And I was like, yeah, but I feel like if she could cook, she wouldn't have that black eye.
He taps out one foot as if dipping it in water.
Just testing the water, seeing if y'all are gonna be fun or not. Just wanted to see. I figure if we start the show with domestic violence, the rest of the show should be pretty smooth sailing after that. Yeah, of course I felt bad for her, man. She should have had her protection crystals, you know what I mean?
Matt shakes his head.
Fellas, we gotta put our foot down, man. This crystal shit is getting out of control. Ladies, put the fucking pebbles down, okay? We are sick and tired of walking into your bedroom and it looking like we gotta beat you at a game of Mancala before we can sleep with you. What the fuck is all this gravel doing inside, Thanos?
He wags a finger.
And I swear to you, man, the biggest issue with crystal girls is the fact that it's their entire personality and they won't shut up about it. I mean, you even, God forbid, bring it up mid-conversation.
He mimes holding up a stone.
This is my favorite one. This is a piece of green Peruvian jade, and it provides me with, like, strength and protection and no, it doesn't. No, it's not, okay? That's a broken shard of a Heineken bottle that you bought from a white dude with dreadlocks who also runs a throat goat yoga class, okay? Say what it really is, some bullshit. The only thing it's protecting is me from dating another girl whose pussy tastes like kombucha, okay? No more hippie shit. Shower. Maybe get back to using real deodorant. No more of this organic deodorant shit that lasts shorter than fucking fruit stripe gum, okay? No more. Y'all remember that garbage? It would last two chews. That's y'all walking around. Two smacks, stinking all over again, dude.
He flaps an elbow up.
So sick of it, man. This hippie shit is gonna be the death of me, I swear. If I hear one more person blame how their life is going on Mercury, I will kill you myself. Do you understand? You leave that goddamn planet alone. I am so tired of you ladies blaming your poor decision-making skills on planets that don't even know you. Get this through your head. Astrology is not this magical life guideline that predetermines your future in the stars. No, none of that. Your future is dependent by your own thoughts, opinions, and actions. You are in complete control of how your future turns out. It's not up here. It's in here the whole time. It's up to you.
He points to his chest.
Has nothing to do with the stars, man. Just because Jupiter has a ring and you don't, doesn't mean that's who you're supposed to look up to for all this magical advice, man. And stop trying to explain it so confidently. You look stupid every time. It's so frustrating. The girl of your dreams will look you straight in the eyes and say some dumb shit like, "Would you even know how the universe works?" "No, but tell me, professor." "Well, there's a little planet called Mercury, and when it slows its rotation around the sun a little bit, it causes it to go into retrograde 98 million miles away, and that's why my life is just an absolute shambles." You know what I mean? Like, it's literally not even up to me. Like, it's in the stars, and like, we're literally all stardust. You know what I mean? "Yeah, you're gonna die alone. Because you can't take responsibility for your own actions. Your life isn't in shambles because of a planet in the sky. It's because you can't live without a vape in your mouth. And you only fuck guys who need to borrow your car, okay?"
Matt shrugs a hand.
"Yeah. That's why your life is in shambles. You worried about Mercury while he crashed in your Saturn. How stupid do you feel? Wrong planet, bitch. Guess again." God, it's gonna kill me, man. I feel like it's a younger generational thing, too, right? The crystals and astrology and all that. Which makes sense. Because I fucking hate young people, dude. I really do. Oh. Anybody my age or younger, you don't have anything to offer me, man. You're so rude. Young people are so disrespectful even when they're not trying to be. Like, 5 months ago, I got a tattoo of John Lennon on the back of my arm. And it's pretty fucking obviously John Lennon. Like, it's a good tattoo. And as soon as I posted on Instagram, everybody was like, "He's a Harry Potter fan?" And I was like, fuck these kids, dude. That is so disrespectful to one of the greatest musicians of all time. Like, John Lennon got fucking Avada Kedavra in his back and that's why he's not here? No. Same glasses, but he's the boy who didn't live. I know. And if that made you sad, you're my audience. Good, I like you a lot, good. It also breaks my heart, that's good. God, I hate young people, dude. And there's really no middle ground, because I hate young people, and I fucking love old people. Oh.
His eyes roll upward.
Oh my God, it is really an unhealthy obsession. It is, dude. I would fuck a grandma in a heartbeat. I really would do it. I'll do it.
He peers around, eyes wide.
You can. I don't know if y'all have done any research at all. You fuck as many grandmas as you want. There's not a single law against it, dude. As many as you want. As many as you want. You just gotta be gentle about it. You know, you can't... Well, yeah, you can't choke them. You gotta, like, kink their oxygen. You know what I mean?
He folds the mic cord briefly.
"Ah, not today. Not today. You're all right. You're fine. Walker it off. Fuck being somebody's first. You ever be somebody's last? That's a flex, dude. Oh my goodness. That's where I thrive, baby. I'm out here cleaning up. They call me the Trim Reaper, dog. I'm just out here snatching souls, you know what I mean?"
The comedian smiles.
"Oh, dude, I love old people so much. Like, the more an old person is shaped like a candy cane..."
He bites his lower lip.
"Oh, dude. I love a motherfucker who just..."
He bends forward and slowly walks.
"He just can't even look up. Like, even he doesn't know how much life is ahead of him, you know what I mean? Just... That's the weight of a good life lived, fucking up his back, man. Oh, your old person's gotta have bad posture, man. That tells me you lived your life to the fullest. If you meet an old person with good posture, they dodge the draft, 100%. Man, you don't have my respect. Sorry. Oh, man. They gotta have bad posture. Because the worse an old person's posture, the better the stories. How'd you get like that? That used to be my favorite part about visiting my great-grandmother at the hospice center she was at for her remaining years when I was a teenager. She's at that facility where they take care of you for, like, your remaining time. And my mom would drop us off for, like, 3 or 4 hours at a time. And which is great. Obviously, I want to spend time with my grandma. But my grandma also had dementia. So, like, 25 minutes in, I could be like, all right, grandma, I'm going to get some more water. And she'd be like, there's a lot of blacks now. I'm like,
he nods wearily.
Yeah, there's more, for sure. I could excuse myself and go do my own thing, you know? And it's not that I didn't love my grandma, didn't want to hang out with her. It's just that people with dementia can't remember a lot, you know? So there's not a lot to talk about. And it just so happened the guy Lenny in the room right next to her remembered everything. This guy was the coolest person I had ever met. He was 97 years old, and he had the coolest life I had ever heard of. He would tell me story after story after story for hours and hours on end, and they were captivating stories. He lived a very full life. He fought in 3 wars in his lifetime. Climbed 5 mountains. He told me he fucked Rosa Parks. I know, in the front of the bus. And I was like,
Matt's eyes narrow skeptically.
I think you have dementia, dog. I don't think that happened the way you remembered it. Also, wouldn't the back of the bus be more private? Like, I feel like you could really put in some work back there, but well, that's the cons of being young, I guess. You can't fact check an old person's story. You know what I mean? I wasn't there. I hate being young, dude. I don't know nothing. I'm 28. I don't even know for sure that Michael Jackson was black.
He shrugs.
Y'all keep saying it. I didn't see it. In every photo I've seen, he was an Asian woman. So I'll never know. That frustrates me to no end, man. I love old people, dude. I wish my entire audience was like 65 and up. Oh, my God. Yeah, it'd be a much shorter career, but when they take into consideration who else they've seen in their lifetime, it's kind of flattering, you know? What I love so much about old people's stories, like when I was hearing Lenny's stories for hours and hours on end, is it inspires me to think about the stories I'm going to have to tell when I get to that age, you know what I mean? I hope I live a full life and have some fun stories to pass down. I liked hearing about his war stories, his adventures, his family stories. That excited me the most. I'm very excited to have a family someday, excited to have kids. But not now. No, not now. Things are going very well. I'm also terrified to have kids, man, because I've made fun of a lot of people.
He cocks his eyebrows.
And if you believe in karma...
Matt cringes.
My kid is about to be fucked up, dude. My kid is about to have 5 legs and a shark fin on his back. He is about to be a monstrosity. Man, I know I'm not mature enough to have that conversation when he's finally like, why am I like this?
He looks down at his arms.
I'm just there like...
He grimaces.
Cause daddy's funny, you know? I've made a lot of people laugh. So will you. For different reasons, but, you know. If they pay the admission. I think it's mainly about timing for me. I want to pick the right time to have kids, because I'm 28, so I mean, realistically, I have all the time in the world, but the benefits of being a guy is we don't have to, like, rush into starting a family or anything. We can have kids whenever we want, which I don't really think is fair to women, because considering women are the ones who literally have to have the baby, doesn't really make sense that y'all would be the ones that have to, like, compete against this biological clock. It seems kind of messed up. Because for women, you can wait till you're older. Like, the older you get, like, don't the odds start to go up, right, of your kid being...
His eyes dart to the side.
First to lunch, we'll call it. Is there a nicer way to say it? You can groan all you want, but don't act like 25 minutes before you were allowed to go to lunch. You didn't have to watch these motherfuckers just hauling ass down the hall.
He runs with an arm trailing behind.
You were just like, God damn it. Naruto is gonna drink up all the spaghetti. Go.
Matt shakes his head as he paces slowly across the stage.
Not to say it's a bad thing. In fact, I actually think it's kind of cool to see the way God works, you know? If you pay attention, God always finds a way of evening things out, right? Like, God always replaces a negative with a positive. Anytime you see somebody who is born less fortunate in a certain aspect, you don't got to worry about that, because God's going to bless them with an attribute, a quality about themselves, sometimes even a skill set, kind of evens that playing field a little bit. I noticed it first with my nephew, Chase. He's a teenager now, but he's autistic as fuck, which is probably not the medical term, but he got it for sure. He's nonverbal. That's his thing. Like, unless you are his mom, he will not speak to you, no eye contact, won't even acknowledge you're in the room. It's pretty rude, but that's his symptom, you know. But get this, his blessing is that he can paint. Even as a teenager, he paints better than any art teacher I've ever had. And I just think it's kind of cool to see the way that God always finds a way of evening things out. It's really impressive to me. And I wish I would have known to look for that stuff sooner, because it might have changed my perspective on a lot of things growing up. There was a kid, Alex, in our high school. Alex was the same age as me. We entered high school together freshman year, had gym class together. He was special needs, and he had...
Matt blinks repeatedly.
He had a dick on him, man. Like, I don't know how else to tell y'all that. That boy was blessed, man. People felt sorry for him. I was like, nah, fuck that dude. He's been terrorizing us in the locker room for the whole semester, man. Got us all backed up against the lockers. Like, God damn, Alex.
He gapes.
That's where the extra chromosome goes? Good for you, man. And to this day, he's the nicest person I've ever met. I hope he's out there hurting somebody right now. I really do. She needs the helmet. You know, they don't always know their own strength, you know what I mean? But he's a good dude. He deserves every inch of it. And yeah, we used to say he had dick you down syndrome. Yeah. So big shout out to Alex, man. Big shout out to Alex. Yeah. Short bust, but a long dick, man. And that's balance, you know what I mean? It's what life's all about at the end of the day, balance. You can't have everything. Sometimes you're just funny.
Matt shoots the crowd a sheepish look. He picks a bottle of water up from the stool, twists off the top, and takes a swig.
It's fine. I still fucked him up in dodgeball. Out of pure jealousy, I was like, you're not even using it.
He mimes hurling a ball.
Yeah, but God works in mysterious ways, huh? You know what's funny? I know I've mentioned God like 8 times in the past 2 minutes. I'm really not even the most religious person. I'm really not. I hope there's a God. I pray every day that there is a God. It'd make a lot of sense, answer a lot of questions for sure. It's tricky sometimes. You know, certain things will happen in life, make you question faith a little bit. It's hard to pick a religion, man. I say it's hard to pick a religion, but I do still wear a cross chain. Yeah.
He pulls out his necklace.
But for the same reason you bring a condom on the first date, you know? I hope I don't gotta use it, but, you know, just in case. In case I die and Jesus is like, you know you ain't getting in here. Nah, son, I bought the wristband.
He flashes the cross chain.
Let me in. I pay for this meet and greet. Where your dad at?
Matt presses his lips tightly together and scowls.
Yeah, religion's it's just tricky, man. But I've always respected it. Always respect a religion. Everybody's religion, I get the utmost respect for. I think it's very important for people to have something to believe in. You know, my ex tried to drive it home pretty heavy. She was super religious. My ex is one of the most religious people I had ever met, which is hilarious because she is not getting into heaven, bro. Not a fucking chance, man. Not even as my plus one. Like, she gonna have to chill for a couple centuries outside these gates, man. She was so religious, but just... not a good person. Like, do you guys know people like that? Like, they're so religious that you're like, you're compensating a little bit. Like, what kind of Christian wakes up to read the Bible every morning when last night all you wanted me to do was lick your butt? Like, what?
Matt squints.
What psalm is that, Jezebel? And how'd you get me to do it? That's the bigger question. See, that's fucking disgusting, man. You don't understand. I don't even eat onions, dog. I never thought I'd do nothing like that. I don't know what came over me. I don't know if it was the butt Holy Spirit or what, but that shit just had your boy speaking in tongues, you know what I mean? Just. Still broke up. If you ever eat someone's ass, then break up. It's the worst Last Supper ever, dude. It's just.
He frowns and whips his head from side to side.
It's disgusting. Tastes like betrayal and pennies. But it's her religion, you know? I don't discredit anybody's beliefs. I believe in things. I do have beliefs. They might not be as deep-rooted as religion, but I do believe in things that do affect my life to a pretty severe degree. For example, I'm a terrible sleeper. I have terrible, terrible, terrible sleep problems, and part of that is to do with the fact that one of my biggest beliefs is in ghosts and monsters. Yeah, I'm a 28-year-old grown man, and my biggest fear is the dark, dude. You don't know what's in there. You have no clue. I'll tell you what's in there, ghosts and monsters. And y'all look ridiculous for not being more concerned about it on a day-to-day basis, dude. They're so real, and I'm such a bitch, man. I really am. I literally have to sleep with my TV on every single night because I've really convinced myself that if the TV's on, the ghosts are gonna think I have people over. So I'll just be like chiming in to shit that I'm watching, like just doing too much. Just, that's crazy how much fun we're all having in here.
He peers around anxiously.
Just me and 12 of the biggest black dudes you've ever seen hanging out watching Mean Girls. You know, you gotta lay down some ground rules. You know, you gotta let these ghosts know they're not safe in your house. You know, you squatted up in there. They don't know. 12 black dudes ain't afraid of nothing. Except for people dressed like ghosts.
Matt nods knowingly.
Yeah. I told y'all monsters are real. I do not mess with ghosts, man. You can't even confront them. Because the ironic thing about ghosts is like the more innocent and approachable a ghost should be, the scarier it is. The ghost of a child? Get the fuck away from me, dude. I don't know if you're a demon or an Amber Alert, but I want you out of my house right now, man. Those are always the scariest ones, just showing up in your hallways and shit. Come play with us.
He crosses his eyes.
They're always British for some reason. All dead kids are British when they're a ghost, for no reason at all. Little dead British kids always want to play.
Matt's eyes narrow.
I don't even know what an American kid ghost would say, but that'd be terrifying to hear. Can you imagine crawling into bed at 3 a.m. and then you hear, I hate this school.
He mimes racking a weapon. With an impish smile, Matt turns and taps a foot outward as if testing the water again.
Just seeing if y'all are still fun. Just wanted to see. Just checking in. Nah, dude. Ghosts are terrifying, man. The only thing that scares me more than ghosts is monsters. I'm pretty sick of y'all not taking them serious. Because they're all over the place, man. That's the thing about monsters. Nobody knows quite where they're at. Everybody has different theories as to where they think monsters hide. I've heard weird places. I've heard, like, closed shower curtain. Like, I know people who won't use a restroom unless they open the shower curtain first to make sure this motherfucker isn't in there lathering up with all the 3-in-1. It turns out he's been the one taking fistfuls of hair against the shower walls for all those years. A little skeptical about that one. Some places make more sense than others. The closet is a big one. It's pretty standard. Plenty of people are afraid of a monster coming out of the closet in the middle of the night just eating you up. That checks out. That's fucking terrifying. You can't have a monster coming out of the closet. That's scary twice. You telling me not only is there a monster in my room, but maybe he's gay? You said he was gonna eat me up. You didn't say dick first. You left out so many details. Now I've just got this gay darkness roaming around my bedroom. I'm being haunted by Lil Nas X. You let me know. You let me know.
He hugs himself and offers a coy expression.
I wanna know if the next song's about me. Like, why'd he choose my closet? You know, like, that's less scary, more flattering. You know, I can get on board with that. Closet makes sense. I will say probably the number one spot that's most common that I was never really afraid of a monster hiding there was under the bed. And I know it's one of the more common places, especially when you're a kid. You'd be afraid of like a monster's hand coming up and like grabbing your leg or something.
He shakes his head.
Never scared me. I think because I started masturbating pretty early. So by 11 or 12, I was like, hey, if a hand reach up here, he just helping, you know what I mean? I'm the monster now, you know, bro. He ain't even built for that, bro. I would dick my bed demon down, dude. He's not even built for those kind of rounds, man. He'd be catching feelings, getting possessive and shit. He's knocking on my headboard at 3 a.m. He's like, you up? Like, I got school in the morning, dog. Chill out. Chill, 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 chill. God damn. You not full? I just didn't think he could fit under there, man. I was like, there's no way there's room for a monster and all those towels under my bed. You know what I mean? And if there is one, he is crunchy. You know, he ain't sneaking up on nobody. It's way too loud.
He takes a few steps.
You can hear a semen demon coming from a mile away, man. You really can. They ain't got no stealth at all. It's a damn shame. However, piggybacking off of semen demons, there is another monster people are pretty commonly afraid of. I feel like we should talk about clowns. So yeah, a lot of people don't fuck with clowns, even though you've dated a few. That's on you. Still a respectable fear. I get it. I'm not personally afraid of clowns, but I get it. I've got four sisters, and they're terrified of clowns. Because when I was about 13 years old, we all watched the original It movies. For anybody who has no idea what I'm talking about, there's a movie called It. It's based on a Stephen King book, and it's about this like killer demon monster clown who lives in the sewer system, and he comes up through the drains to like eat children. That's the whole movie. That's him as a monster. And we watched this movie in my grandpa's house, and it scared my sisters so bad they didn't shower for 3 weeks. Like, that's how terrified they were that he was gonna come up through the drains and eat them when they were kids. But they didn't know that by that time, I had been jerking off in the shower. You know what I mean? So, like, he been eating my children. You know what I mean? Like, I figured we built a good rapport and understanding. You know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna kill the cow, you get the milk for free, right? Like, that's bad business 101, you know? His name is Pennywise, but he be eating quarter loads. I'll tell you that much right now. That boy.
He pats his stomach.
That boy eating good down there, man. And they all float, don't they, fellas? Right on top of the water. Like an oil spill. You shouldn't be jerking off in the shower anyways, man. That's how you get early onset candy cane. Because you just hunched over in that hot water.
He leans down.
You get molded like a mouthpiece. It's also a waste of your time. Because if you miss the drain directly and it gets somewhere on the tub, you gotta spend the next 12 minutes of your shower just gathering water, like.
The comedian cups his hands as if collecting shower water. Then he pretends to splash the water down twice.
It's gotta be a direct hit or it does no damage at all. And I'm realizing right now I need more guy fans. That would help a lot. If this room was 70% dudes the way it is women, this joke would have been like, because all the dudes get it, and every girl is like, is it a jellyfish? Like, why? Why would it stick to, kind of, consistency-wise, it's not far off from a jellyfish.
It's disgusting, whatever it is, man.
God, guys are so gross. Luckily, we're funny on accident. I think that's what helps us get through, like, the embarrassment of puberty. Because you ladies would lose your mind if you really saw how much of a shit show it is to be a young man trying to learn how to masturbate proficiently. Oh, dude, it's just embarrassing mistake after embarrassing mistake. I mean, I suppose nobody understands the difficulty more than women, because how y'all figure out your own little fidget spinner on your own, I'll never understand in a million years. Y'all are just thrown to the wilderness with no owner's manual or nothing, just forced to figure it out for yourself. And you do, all by yourself. And I'm so proud of each and every one of you. I really am. Because if you didn't, we never would, literally ever. You already have to walk us through every step of the way. And even that's exhausting in the simplest form. Fellas, how many times have you fingered a girl for so long? You wake up the next day like...
He contorts his hand.
Did I go fucking bowling last night? Did I indoor rock climb for 9 hours? I'm walking around the next day pointing at shit like Spider-Man because I can't straighten my tendons anymore. I can't grip shit the next day. It's like, great, yeah, you came and I got cerebral palsy. Awesome, yeah. That.
He twists his hand inward, then shakes it out.
It hurts, man. You ladies are very strong. Good job. Yeah, women definitely have it harder. There's no argument there. I think men just have it more embarrassing because we don't take anybody's advice. We only learn via trial and error, and you don't forget those errors. Every man in this room has been caught, whether you know it or not. You're not as sneaky as you think you are. And that, it's good. That has to happen. You have to figure out your system. You know, now, as an adult man, every guy in this room knows how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, how to adjust according to time zones and solstices. There's a whole rigmarole that goes on, but we have to figure that out the hard way, you know? And thank God I never got caught, like, in the act. That, I don't know how I would have recovered from that, but I do remember getting caught with porn for the first time. And I was, I was 12 years old. And yeah, in my defense, I wasn't looking for porn when I found it. I was looking for Christmas presents in my parents' bedroom. Because it was middle of December, and when I get home from school, there was always a couple hour window before my mom would get home from work first, right? And I knew they had been Christmas shopping, so of course I broke into their room, I was snooping around. First place I checked was under the bed. My bed monster was under there, like, oh, you looking for another bitch? And I was like, not now, man. Different mission, okay? Closet. That's where you keep the goods, right? So I go over to the closet confidently, wing it open.
He pretends to throw a door open, and his face falls.
Nothing.
He shrugs and walks away.
So I was about to just give up and go back to my room, and I heard a voice. I don't know if it came from in my head or under the bed, but it said, check the top shelf.
Matt slowly turns and gazes upward curiously, as if peering at the top shelf of the closet.
So I did. And at first glance, it was a typical top shelf of a parent's closet. It was some blankets folded up at the front, some hoodies to the side. But what caught my eye was a piece of blue cardboard sticking up from behind the blankets. So I brought the blankets down, and it revealed this gigantic Bud Light beer box. Like one of the huge cases. You know, like the 64 can counts of Bud Light? Do you guys have stepdads? You know the ones I'm talking about? Yeah, the This Ain't My Real Family case of beer. But I knew, even at 12, I knew. I was like, that's not where beer goes. I bet you there's presents in there. And boy, was there. Bro, I brought this box down. It was the biggest box of porn anyone has ever seen. It was a whole box filled with like 40 VHS tapes that my stepdad had accumulated over his career, I guess. And I'm... I'm just sifting through them, you know. They're all labeled different weird things. One of them was like April 2003, which was terrifying because that's my mom's name. No, I was like, June, July, August better be in this bitch somewhere. Like, this better be a timestamp and not therapy forever. Couldn't risk it. Chose a blank one off the top. I put the box back, put the blankets back exactly the way I found them. I ran to my room with it. I had a VHS player in my room, and I watched it a lot. The first one was for me, obviously, treat yourself, you know. But after that first time, I was really in there just taking down notes. Because not a lot of women really know how important porn is to the learning process of a young man. Because before we see porn, we don't know anything. And we really pretend like we do. So this is a bombshell of new information to try to absorb, man. It's very confusing as well, because when you're that young and inexperienced, you have no idea that porn is not real sex. At that age, you can't even fathom that those are two totally different things. After I watched this one movie, I thought you could only have sex with five other people. I thought all sex was gangbangs. And I was like, huh, I need more and better friends. Not Alex. It's also a lot of positive information that we do need, because we're so stupid and we're so confident at that age. You ever talk to a middle school boy? We're all like, I fucked 100 girls last recess, bro. You're a virgin. And then we'll finally see porn a year later, and we're like, oh, shit. Pussy is so much lower than I thought it was.
Matt Gawkes twisting his head.
But before we see porn, every boy thinks a pussy is right here, dog. Like, we think we walk dick first into your belly button, and that's what doing sex is, you know what I mean? You hope she got an innie. So it's a lot of new information to try to digest, you know, and I'm enjoying myself. I'm excited. Can't wait to go to school the next day, tell my friends. I know I'm going to be the man, you know. But because I was so caught up in the excitement, I made the biggest rookie mistake. I didn't even think to put it back. I put the box back. I put the blankets back. But I was like, he's got plenty. There's no way he's gonna notice one missing, right? Wrong. The same night, dude, around 11 p.m. that night, I didn't even get this tape for 24 hours. I'm in my room, I'm packing up everything for school the next day, backpack's full, I'm crawling in bed, I'm fucking exhausted.
He rotates his shoulder like he strained his right arm.
From all the notes. And I'm, you know, nice and cozy under the sheets, comfy under the covers, and I hear my stepdad come home from working his late night shift. And all the sounds in the house were incredibly routine every single night. I could paint the picture and see what he was doing without actually even seeing what he was doing. All the sounds were the same every night. You'd hear him come through the garage into the kitchen, crack a beer at the fridge, come through the living room into the bedroom, where you'd hear him turn on the shower to shower and get out of his work clothes, right? Just like every night. Only this night, I hear him crack the beer, come through the living room into the bedroom.
Matt wears a confused expression.
No shower. Just like 20, 25 seconds of silence. And then I hear, throughout the house...
He turns his back to the audience.
What the fuck?
He spins, miming, holding the bed covers up by his neck as he glances around with a terrified look in his eyes.
And I'm in my room like, that could be anything. I hope my mom's cheating in there. I hope he walked in on five other people in his house. Because that exclamation was followed by another 2 minutes of just silence. So I'm in my room like, what the fuck is going on? Because then I hear the footsteps again.
He stomps across the stage.
They're getting closer and heavier. I'm sweating and hard, a terrifying combination at that age. It was the first time in my life I had hoped Mysterious Footsteps was a ghost. Preferably the ghost of my real dad, so that this wasn't about to happen. Because I knew he was gonna whoop my ass, man. I knew I was in trouble. My bed monster was holding my hand. I'm like, not right now, not right now. Maybe after, we'll see how this goes. And the footsteps stop at my bedroom door. I'm like, fuck.
And the door creaks open. And my stepdad leans in. And all he says is...
Matt leans far to one side.
I'm missing something.
He smoothly straightens up again, then points a finger.
I know you know what I know. And when I get home from work tomorrow, I want it back and rewound.
I was like, to the beginning or where you finished? Like, how? We gotta come up with some kind of time system now. You know what I mean? This is our collection now, okay? He was like, you wanna be grounded? I was like, you gonna keep me in my room with this movie? I guess lock me up, you know what I mean? All summer, baby, I'm good. It was a real turning point in he and I's relationship because my stepdad and I hated each other. We had nothing in common, but we finally had a thing. You know, like, I finally had leverage for once. Neither one of us could snitch on the other person without losing everything. You know, it was nice. I was like, you can either beat me or your dick. You ain't gonna do both, okay?
He holds his right hand out.
Deal?
He switches hands.
Deal?
He mimes shaking with his left hand. Matt strides back over to the stool.
That's how we bonded, you know? It's nice. Oh, man.
He unscrews the top of his bottle and takes a drink.
Yeah, that was a good bonding experience, man. Then the internet had to come and ruin everything. I mean, I like internet porn, but you can't even bond with your family anymore, man. I hate the internet, I really do. Social media especially, I can't stand social media, which I know is crazy for y'all to hear, because it's why you're all here. Yeah, it's a fun fact for y'all to know about me. I hate social media, I never wanted to do it. I put it off for years, I can't stand it. I think social media is awful. It's such a negative, toxic place. It's full of horrible people saying horrible things all the time. It's the worst place to never exist, man. It's awful what people say. These people, these trolls. Just a bunch of fucking losers with no friends and no life and no profile picture. Sit at home all day trying to cancel people or say mean comments because their life sucks so fucking bad they can't possibly imagine a life of misery by themselves, so they have to try to drag other people down by leaving mean comments and saying rude stuff. I respond every time, dude. I cannot fathom a reality where people can talk to you as disrespectful as they want without facing any physical consequences. That drives me absolutely insane, man. And I know...
He makes air quotes with his free hand.
I know as a public figure, I'm supposed to be like the bigger person and take the high road, but fucking kill yourself, dude. That goes for any internet shit talker out there, man. And I know that's a harsh thing to say to somebody, but the way I see it, nobody who's a good person and actually contributes anything positive to society is ever gonna go out of their way to leave a negative comment under something you have been so brave as to create and share with the rest of the world. And we just don't need people like that around. Sorry.
He shrugs his shoulders.
It's just insane the lengths people will go to talk shit on the internet, man. Earlier this year, we were flying from Los Angeles up to Vancouver, Canada for a comedy festival. I had one show, one night. It was a 36-hour trip, real quick in and out, right? Heading to the airport. The only thing I've brought with me for this quick trip is my backpack, which you would think would be ideal, except for it's an inconvenience as soon as you get to the airport because TSA doesn't know where the fuck a backpack goes, and they change the rules every day, and then they'll treat you like you're a complete idiot for not knowing their made-up set of rules. This specific occasion, I get through TSA, little to no issues. They don't have to like pull the bag aside or anything like that. So now I'm heading to the gate, heading to the plane, and I'm actually pretty excited about the flight because it's not that long of a flight, and I know I have a window seat, which is inarguably the best seat on the plane. Yeah. Until the end of the flight.
He takes his bottle off the stool.
Because you know how they always come by to let you know they're about to land?
After setting the bottle down, he moves the stool.
55 minutes before they're about to land.
He takes a seat on the stool.
And they will... and they will wake you up from your window slumber just to say some stupid shit like, I need you to put your window shade all the way up for landing. Like this motherfucker checking his blind spot in 28F.
He pretends he's a pilot peering over his shoulder. Matt rolls his eyes.
So, I'm at least looking forward to getting a little nap on the flight, you know? So we're boarding the plane, it's a smaller plane. One of those smaller planes you've all been on, where like the overhead bins are so small, they make you gate check all your luggage. So I lucked out just having the backpack, because even if the bag did fit in the bin up top, which it didn't, it was too small, everybody knows your backpack goes under the seat in front of you, right? I know that, you know that, I do it 6 times a week. So I'm settling into the seat, and I'm putting the bag under, and I had made a small mistake. I had overpacked the bag by just a little bit. So it only fit like 75% under the seat in front of me. So I'm feeling it out, and I'm like, you know what? I'll actually have more room and be more comfortable if I put my bag underneath my legs this way. So much more room. I can still mermaid a little bit.
He kicks up both feet.
Problem's really solved. Right now I'm sitting back, relaxing, just waiting to see who's going to sit next to me. Because who sits next to you plays a huge impact on your flight experience, right? I get fucked immediately. Dude, right behind me in the boarding process, here comes two of the worst possible passengers to sit next to. Beside me in the middle seat is a 3-year-old boy who, yeah, as soon as he sits down, is on his 3-year-old.
Matt throws back his head and swings his arm around.
I'm just like, man, I will cave this motherfucker's sternum in, okay? I bet it's still soft. And I'm pissed off, not at the crying. Your baby crying on a plane actually doesn't even bother me. I know you can't control that. But what you can control is the physicality of your child. Because for the rest of this 30-minute boarding process, this kid would not get his hand this far away from my face. Just, and I'm doing all the polite things to get him away. I'm like, okay, but okay, all right, probably enough of this now, right? Somebody can break this up. I'm doing all the things to let the dad in the aisle seat know this isn't okay, and he's not paying attention. I was this close to leaning over to the dad and being like, hey, you mind getting your sexy ass kid away from me?
He slowly runs his tongue around his lips.
Yeah, I know that's gross. But what do I gotta do to get your attention to let you know this is inappropriate? What's going on over here? The dad could not have been more incompetent. He was in the aisle seat watching shit on his iPad. And the dad was, no disrespect, just an accurate detail of the story. The dad was no less than, I'd say, 425 pounds. Like, he was a big dude. If I had to piss on this flight, it was going to be in my seat, which I fully accepted. It's fine. So I'm trying to keep my composure. We're departing from the gate. We're heading towards the runway, and the flight attendant's making her rounds up and down the aisle, make sure everybody's buckled in. And she stopped at my row. She saw my bag under my legs, and she goes, uh-uh. Sir, I'm going to need you to put your bag under the seat in front of you. I said, ah.
He winces.
Doesn't fit, but it's okay. Look.
He kicks both feet up and down.
Still got plenty of space, super comfortable. I wouldn't even worry about it. Thank you, though. And she goes, it's not okay. Put your bag under the seat in front of you, or I will check it where you can go get it at baggage claim.
He raises his eyebrows.
I said, it doesn't fit, and we've already departed.
He pretends to look out the window.
What do you want to do? And she said, I don't know. Not my bag, not my problem.
Matt scowls at the imaginary flight attendant.
I said, you're not going to speak to me like this is Spirit Airlines, okay? I am an American Platinum Rewards Executive Pro member, okay? And I have enough miles for us to speak like adults and agree that we both know that's a stupid rule. It's not affecting anything. Look.
He kicks his feet up and down again.
Let's just drop it and move on with the flight. She goes, it's not a stupid rule. It's impeding your exit. I said, oh.
He swings over a leg.
For real?
He swings the leg back.
trapped.
He repeats the move.
First one off this bitch. I promise you it's okay. She goes, it's not okay, because if there's an emergency, you need to be able to get off this plane as quickly as possible. I said, hey, what do you think's impeding my exit more?
He again swings his leg.
My bag? Or fucking Timon and Pumbaa right next to me?
Matt glowers angrily at the imaginary flight attendant.
Even the baby was like, ah! And I was like, so you're pissing off this sexy-ass baby, man.
He shakes his head, then rises from the stool, holding out a palm.
So now, believe it or not, now is when the trouble actually begins. I'm on the plane. I'm pissed off. And I've got Wi-Fi.
He paces in front of the stool.
So like an idiot, as soon as I get service, I get on Twitter and I tweet about this experience I just went through. And basically all I tweeted was just stating that I thought this was a ridiculous rule for her to threaten to check my bag and add this very inconvenient process to my very quick in-and-out trip when it wasn't affecting anybody or anything. That's all I tweeted. And man, I didn't know that Twitter is flight attendants, all of them. Every single one of them. Everybody on Twitter knows every airplane rule and they give the most amount of fucks about them, apparently. Dude, hundreds on hundreds on hundreds of strangers start filling my timeline with the angriest tweets, furious at my stance on the situation. And the dumb general consensus they would say was shit like, how hard can it be to just follow the rules?
Matt rolls his eyes and runs a hand through his thick hair.
Here's the thing. I understand rules. I understand why certain safety precautions are set in place to keep everybody safe. Obviously, I get that. But also, use your fucking brain, right? For example, I understand that the speed limit on most freeways, and it varies city to city, but on average, it's about 65 miles per hour. I totally understand and respect that that is the designated suggested speed for us citizens to follow to keep traffic moving at an appropriate pace, right? I get that. But also, if you for real drive 65 miles per hour on the freeway, I will fucking kill you. Do you understand? Drive faster. Pussy. Use your instincts to go, you know what? I can't open this bitch up to 80 like an adult and keep this shit moving, right? You use your instincts to navigate rules, right? That's how I felt about the plane situation. I know what the bag rule is. Everybody does. But it's not affecting anybody. So how about we chill the fuck out about it?
He throws up a hand.
Nope. Instead, I argue with 700 strangers for 8 hours, dude. Oh, and we're going back and forth and back and forth. And the best part about arguing with people on the internet about something you have personally experienced is that they weren't there to witness any of the details of the account, right? They only know what you've told them and what they want to assume. So very quickly after you start arguing on the internet, people will just start throwing out their own wild scenarios that have nothing to do with what you're even talking about, just so they seem justified. I just didn't want to check my bag, and people were saying things like, it's not about your safety, it's about the safety of people around you. What if there's an emergency crash landing into a mountain, and during the evacuation, say it again, slower for yourself. Go ahead. You think we're gonna survive the crash? Into the mountain? And they have an argument for everything. Well, what if we do survive? And because your bag wasn't all the way under the seat in front of you, it ends up in the aisleway, and during the evacuation, someone trips over it and injures themselves.
Hands balled into fists, he trembles with rage.
If you can't
step the fuck over my 10-inch tall JanSport backpack to save your own life? Natural selection, dog.
The comedian heaves a sigh, his mouth hanging open. He shrugs a hand.
You gotta fucking die, okay? You're not athletic enough to stay alive. Dude, I could not believe the lengths people will go to argue about shit that has nothing to do with them on the internet. It's impressive, man, because it snowballs very quickly. It quickly becomes this, like, mob mentality. Because what happens online is once a large enough group of people start getting upset with you on the internet, everybody wants to get their lick in, right? Because the internet is full of people who have negativity towards themselves that they have to project onto other people. So this is their opportunity, because that's your punishment. If you ever get in trouble on the internet, your punishment is that people can say anything they want to you. Anything. Even if it's way worse than what you said to get in trouble in the first place, man. It's impressive. And ultimately, that stuff never bothers me. Like, look, you're never gonna hurt my feelings, okay? I've been dead inside for so long. Like, my plane crashed a long time ago, and I didn't step over the bag, emotionally speaking. You know what I mean? So you can talk your shit to me as much as you want, but the thing you have to know about me and what I've learned through therapy or whatever is that I'm a very defensive person, apparently. Like, I have a very quick trigger reaction to feel the need to defend myself if I feel like somebody's coming at me, right? And I go for the kill every time. So look, you can talk your shit to me online as much as you want. Say whatever mean, hurtful things you want to say to try to hurt my feelings, but just know I'm gonna fuck you up verbally. My goal is to now make you cry. Like, I'm gonna win this battle every time. So when I hit you harder than you hit me first, don't act like you're the fucking victim, okay? That's my biggest pet peeve on the entire internet. And probably the best example of that was throughout this Twitter interaction. When all this backpack shit was going on, I'm arguing with people, we're going roast for roast, just really having some fun, wasting time. And I was having fun with it. And then there was this one woman, took it too far. She would not shut the fuck up, dude. She, by herself, probably tweeted me like 60 to 70 times, whether I responded or not. And I responded to a lot of them, but not all of them, obviously. And she was one of those people, right? She saw everybody getting their licking. She wanted to be a part of that. So she started saying meaner and meaner and meaner things, expecting no consequences. And I didn't really care. Until her last tweet. The last tweet I just couldn't let slide, man. The last thing she said to me was, I don't understand why you have to be such an insubordinate, crybaby little bitch.
Matt closes his eyes and lifts his chin. He hangs his head briefly.
Should I just have blocked her? My publicist says yes. But I was so sick of being ganged up on 1v700. She was being very mean. She started it. And just based off of her profile photo, she was a heavier set woman. All I said, in defense of myself,
he mimes texting,
was, well, had you not been taking up two seats, there would have been room for me to safely secure my backpack in another chair. That's all I said, which statistically is not incorrect. But as we all know, everybody wants to be a victim now, right? So how did she, the person who started it, react?
He clutches his chest.
How could he say something like that? He's body shaming me. Cancel Matt Rife.
Bitch, you can't cancel me. I'm not your gym membership.
Get the fuck off my feet then.
He tosses up a hand exasperatedly.
I didn't start shit with you. I'm a nice person, man. I never want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I fucking will. It had nothing to do with her, man. All I wanted to do was complain about my backpack. And now I'm this bitch's 13th reason. Nah, fuck that. You can count reasons, but not calories. Get the fuck out of my face, dude. No.
Nope.
Not doing sympathy today, DC. Not doing it. And before any of y'all sit there and even think about taking her side and go, oh, I don't know, Matt. That's awfully personal. I mean, is it really worth you making fun of her weight in defense of yourself? I mean, what if word gets back to her that you're still making fun of her weight and it affects her so severely she does something drastic like hangs herself? How would that make you feel?
Matt's jaw drops.
How'd she get up there?
He pouts his lips.
Huh. I'd be fucking amazed that they make tow cables that strong. I really would. I really fucking would, dude. Listen. Fuck these people, man. Your social media is your art. You can create and share whatever you want to share, man. And if anybody has a problem with that, I say post more of that shit. Shove it down their fucking throat, man. Do you have any idea how many people don't like me or my comedy? And you know what? I post every fucking day. Because that's what feels right to me. It's what feels right to me, and I'm just doing what I think is funny, and all I can ever hope to come from that is that it makes other people smile and it makes them happy, okay? That's all I ever want to come from any of this. So who cares if absolutely nobody believes in you, man? Fuck these people. For 12 years, nobody believed in me, man. And if I let that affect how I respected my own thoughts and ideas, I wouldn't be doing a Netflix special at Constitution Hall in my favorite city in the entire country, man.
Matt lets out a heavy exhalation.
But what do I know? I only do crowd work, right?
He drops the mic and makes a peace sign. Audio description by Deluxe. Written by Peter R.M. Schwiller. Voice by William Michael Redman. Credits. Written and performed by Matt Rife. Directed by Eric Griffin. Executive producer, Matt Rife. Executive producer, Christina Shams. Executive producers, Aisha Rokadia, Daniel Powell. Matt chats with the audience.
Hope everybody enjoyed themselves. Old people, thank you for coming. I know you have to be up soon. Did you know who I was when you came here?
An old woman nods.
You did? They play TikTok on Hallmark? Shut up. What is that?
He checks out a gift bag.
What's in here? We got, is this weed edibles? 50 milligrams, you murderer. If you fuck around and take 50 milligrams on your first edible, you will change your pronouns, dude. Like, you will. Black people, thank y'all.
He motions to one area.
I think it's just y'all. Fuck, dude. I thought for sure I had a more diverse fan base. Not as much. Oh, okay. All right, well, let's not point them out. That feels very January 6th of y'all. Let's chill out. I know, it's y'all city.
Copyright 2023 Netflix. Logos appear. Avesta Entertainment, Irony Point.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.